Morning church, shalom. Please be seated and welcome to church. Those of you who are joining us online, also welcome. This is our communion service. And of course, we want to especially welcome guests and friends who might be joining us for the very first time. You know, I mean, we are just a very down-to-earth church. And if you can, maybe you come and join us in a physical service from time to time. All right? Now, I want to take this opportunity to also wish you all a happy new year, right? Because it is the year of the ox, correct? Right, so it is Happy New Year to all of you. I don't know if you noticed that it's getting warmer and warmer. Have you noticed that? Now, I kind of miss December. It was so cool and windy. You know, although we couldn't go to Japan, couldn't go everywhere, it seems that the nice weather came to us. I was really grateful for that, you know. In fact, yesterday we were just a couple of days ago, we were planning about Christmas 2021. What program should we have? And we're saying, you know, hopefully by then, government will be able to relax some of these restrictions. And then one of my staff said, Pastor, if government release the restrictions, we don't need to plan for Christmas because everyone will fly, right? Go to Hong Kong, go to Japan, go everywhere that you'll not be able to go for so long. But it is getting warmer, and the heat is reminding us that the seasons are changing, right? This is the spring. The spring season has arrived, and that is why it's getting hotter. But just as there's a physical turnover of seasons, there's also a spiritual changing of seasons. And I believe that, you know, God is leading us to enter in the new kind of spiritual season. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now, we are very familiar with this verse. And, you know, when we see the word converted, we tend to think, oh, this is for non-Christians, right? Because they need to repent, they need to be converted and become Christians. But really, when you look at the Greek, the translation is a little bit different. Now, I like to translate the Greek this way. It says, first, change your mind. Because the word repentance, metanoia in Greek, really means to change your mind. And all of us need to change our mind sometimes, right? Because we've got wrong thinking. And be converted. So that's change your direction, right? Change your direction. Where you're going. So change your mind and change your direction. This is not just for non-Christians. It's for all of us, all right? So turn to your neighbor and say, you need change. Right? So change your mind and change your direction so that your sins may be wiped out. Now the times of refreshing, that's a famous word that we know. It really is kairos. The moment, the season of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And I believe that all of us really could use a season of refreshing, couldn't we? I mean, after such a long season of, you know, going through so many things, we want a season of spiritual refreshment. Now, trouble is that actually, while most of us can agree on the premise that change is necessary, right? Change is necessary. And actually, even if you don't think change is necessary, change will come on you, right? Remember I told you about the circuit breaker. Always thought, okay, we're just sitting at home doing nothing. Actually, you're changing sideways, right? It happens to all of us, whether you're aware of it or not. But you know, we all agree change is necessary, but very often, as humans, we don't think that change is necessary for us. Okay, change is necessary for my neighbor. Change is necessary for my wife, my husband, right? Change is necessary for my employer. But change, you know, for me, I'm okay. Most of us have this idea that we are all right. So we don't need change. And because of that, we seldom change. We seldom repent, if you like. And because of that, times of refreshing don't often come. You know, they say, if you don't rectify, you will petrify. You understand? You don't rectify, you don't change, you petrify, you become a fossil. Right? Some of us already almost there already. Right? But we all need to change. Now, to change your mind is one thing. That alone is hard enough in itself, to change the way we are thinking. Because we are so used, so set in our ways, that sometimes even God will have a difficulty changing our minds. But it goes on to say, not just changing your minds, but changing your direction, the course that you take. So our habits, right? The things we are used to doing. The things you're used to doing is neither right nor wrong. They're just used to doing it, right? They're just familiar ways. And the things you are changing to, again, is neither right nor wrong. It's just that we are so much creatures of habit. You know, even in church like this, many of us have a tendency, left on your own, if you didn't control the zone and all that, you will likely go back and sit exactly where you've always sat, right? And actually, I count on that, you know, as a pastor, because I, you know, in church, sometimes I don't know who comes to church. Too many of you. So I'm used to seeing, okay, this person sit this place, that person sit that place. So I will scan, you know. Oh, how come this person not there? But now I cannot do that. Now everyone move everywhere. I don't know where I have to scan all the place. And, you know, my glasses, I can't see far right now. It's for reading. So this is a human habit. We don't like to change. But the Bible says, if you want times of refreshing, you want growth in your spiritual life, you want fresh revelation in your life, change is necessary, both in your thinking as well as in your actions, your behavior, your habits. Now, how do we know what is it that we must change, right? I mean, you don't just change things for the sake of changing, right? Next week, half of you come pink color hair. Oh, pastor said change. Okay, not just random change. Change that God wants, all right? So today, we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice in a season of change, because God will instruct us how to change. And to do this, we're going to be looking at one of these major seasons of transition, of change in the Bible. Now, there are many different major seasons of transition. For instance, from Moses handing over to Joshua, right? So that's a major transition. A lot can be learned from these things. But today, we're going to be looking at another one, and this is the handing over of the mantle from Eli, the high priest in Shiloh, to Samuel, the boy, the prophet, right? So it was a strange time in Israel indeed. Years, hundreds of years have gone past since the time of Moses. And remember how they had gathered at the foot of the holy mountain, and God wanted to speak to them. It was God's will to speak to the people. However, the people didn't want it. They say, Moses, okay, you go and talk to God, and you just kind of summarize everything, right? TLDR, come and tell us what is it that God wants to, because we don't really want to talk to God directly. So you have all these prophets coming along. Well, they went to the promised land. You know, Joshua led the conquest. By and by, things had kind of changed, and eventually they had a string of judges who kind of led the nation. And in fact, Eli, the high priest, was the second last judge. Samuel himself, the prophet, was the final judge of the so-called season of judges before they had kings. Now, after that initial flourish, when they came to the promised land, when God was speaking to them, when there was the conquest of their enemies, the victories that they were having, those days of glory seems to have been left in the fading dust of history. So much so that by the time you get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, which is where we are looking at today, it opens with these words. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. I'm going to just pause there for a second here, right? The boy Samuel, you remember Samuel? Samuel was the son of Hannah. You know, Hannah went up to Shiloh. Now, actually, when we go to Israel, and I hope at the end of this year we can go to Israel, we usually go to Samaria, and in Samaria, there's a place called Shiloh, right? And Shiloh was where the temple, where the Ark of the Covenant rested for about 360-some years, right? Before it was finally captured by the Philistines, you know, went out and ended up in different places in Gaza, basically. And then finally, it came to a small village, and finally from there, you know, it was moved to Jerusalem by David. But that was where, Shiloh was where the Ark of the Covenant sat. There was a little tabernacle there, and Hannah had gone up to Shiloh to pray. It's a beautiful place, actually, right on top of a hill, right? And I remember praying there as well. And she was praying, she was desperate because she was barren and she had no son. So she prayed, and you know what? God heard her prayer. So that is why she called her son Samuel, or Shemuel, which means God heard, right? God heard. So Shemuel, name is God heard. When he became a boy, she had dedicated Samuel to serve the Lord. So Samuel was now in Shiloh, in the tabernacle, serving before Eli, right? Ministering to the Lord before Eli. And it says here, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. What could that possibly mean? What does that mean, right? And I think the writer here was trying to contrast this season with an earlier season. You know, the time when God spoke through Moses, giving all these laws and instructions and, you know, Deuteronomy and Genesis, all these laws were given out. Or maybe during the time of Joshua when they're being instructed how to conquer the land, who should go and take which bit of land. Or even during the times of the judges where God had intervened through different individuals, you know, Deborah and Barak and all these different judges and given them the victory. It was contrasted to that time. This time, seemed like God doesn't seem to be speaking a lot anymore, right? The revival long past. And all they had were the memory of a distant speaking of God, a memory of the past. God's presence today seems to be far away. So often in our own lives, there is this same tendency to drift away from God into, you know, as it were, spiritual doldrums. Maybe at one point in our lives, we were struggling. Could be a health situation. Maybe we were struggling to get a job, you know, getting started in life, struggling with getting married, starting your own family. During those years, we were often on our knees with the Lord, asking for God to help us. By and by, God delivered us from those situations. And, you know, we had worked ourselves, we put effort in, and we had come to a place of stability and predictability in our lives. Things were okay. They were generally all right. But along with it, a funny thing often happens. We will also start to drift into spiritual doldrums, where we still go through the motions of our lives. We still come to church, you know, still go to cell groups, still do these things. But if you are honest about it, we would say, the word of the Lord seems to be rare. Long ago, I remember, wow, 10 years ago, God did this, God did that. 15 years ago, God did this, God did that. Today, I'm thinking about the past already, getting old already. So, sometimes this happens to us. I think it is good for us as humans to recognize that this is a human tendency, right? This is not saying you're bad or anything. This is a human tendency for us to drift into these things. And sometimes it takes God to say, enough is enough. I'm going to shake this up a little bit so that we wake up from this stupor, right? So if this is you, or maybe this is all of us, this is a word for us. Because you know what? We all have a need for spiritual refreshing. We all need for spiritual renewal and revival. Can you say amen? Amen, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need renewal. Not the brand of makeup. Let's continue to read, okay? It's really interesting. Verse 2 to 4, it says, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, you know, sleeping, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Okay, this is a very interesting verse. A lot of things going on in this verse here. Let's walk you through a little bit of it. It says here now, Eli was sleeping, right? Late. But he was also very old. And his eyes, according to the words, he grew so dim. It's not like your eyes got the adjustable brightness on. It means that he's becoming blind. He's so old that he cannot see anymore. And you know what? I can totally relate to that. Because I'm wearing my reading glasses. My words here, I can see. You guys are actually, for all I know, you're all crying, but I like to believe you're all smiling, right? Because you cannot see, just one big blur here, right? And Eli had grown so old that he was no longer able to see. Now, here's the thing. This is not just talking about the physical reality, right? There are two things going on. It's the writer is using this play on words. It's talking about Eli also becoming spiritually blind. Not only was he blind physically, he was also spiritually blind. He was not able to see, even as the high priest, to recognize the problems of the nation, much less the problems within his own family. We'll read more about that. So, he could not see. And then it says here, and before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, right? Most of us will take it, okay, right? It's getting late at night, you know, turn off the lights, save electricity, save oil. But actually, that's not the case. Because if you were a student of the Bible, and you have read Leviticus, all of us, I'm sure, right? Everyone who has read Leviticus, okay, never mind, forget that. Probably very depressing. Nobody read Leviticus. But there are laws in the book of Leviticus that are very specific to this. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says this, and the fire, this is a law, right? The law of God concerning the tabernacle. The fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it. The priest is who? Eli, in this case, right? Every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. And fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So you see, that lamb, right? So the altar fire as well as the menorah should always be burning. It should never go out. So when we come to this verse and it says, but the Lamb of God was about to go out, this is not just talking about the physical reality. It's a spiritual reality that in this nation, the people's attention was so far away from God, they had not committed resources to their spiritual life. They were busy doing everything else such that the temple had been left derelict. People were disregarding all these things. There was nobody to help this Eli all by himself. In fact, Eli's sons, who were also priests, were gallivanting around with the woman of the land. It was a bad state. The whole nation had backslided. They had gone into a place of doldrums. And that was the reason why the word of God was rare in those days. And when, you know, the whole nation is teetering on the brink of this loss, almost go out, just a little bit more, God spoke. After a long time, when nobody had heard the voice of God, God spoke. It was in this moment of spiritual disrepair, when attention is no longer on the spirituality, on the faith of the people, on God for that matter, right? People are busy with everything else in their life. No longer thinking about God, it was at this moment that God chose to speak. And I have to wonder, why does God bother anyway, right? I mean, surely the universe is so big, I'm sure you've got a lot of things to do. Why does he bother with speaking to us? There's only got to be one reason. God speaks to us because he cares about us. If he didn't care about us, he wouldn't bother calling us. So it's not just judgment that he's pronouncing, he's calling us. And when God finally spoke, after this season of drought, where there was no voice of God, he called. So when God opens his mouth, he's calling Samuel. He's calling individuals. So when God opens his mouth to speak, very often it is a call to individuals. It's not just informing you. When God speaks, it's not, this is the 8 o'clock news, I'm here to inform you. God doesn't do that, okay? In fact, God is here to call individuals. There's a high likelihood that even as you're seated here today, including those of you who are watching online, that God is calling you individually. And here, Samuel, when he hears, well, actually Samuel thought it was Eli, right? He responded. Now here's the question I'm asking, right? Why was it that Samuel could hear God when no one else could? Eli couldn't hear God, right? Nobody else heard God, but Samuel heard God. Well, the first reason I can think of is because Samuel positioned himself correctly, right? Remember we talk about position yourself, right? Take your position, stand still and watch. We read from Chronicles the other time. So Samuel was in the right position. He was literally serving in the tabernacle, in the presence of God. And he was there not by accident, but he was deliberately there to pay attention to God. He was very attentive, right? So he was listening, he was waiting, and he was serving. He was in a place where his full attention was given to ministering to the Lord. So often, we are unable to hear God because we are in the wrong space. Wrong position, right? Or there's no space at all for that matter in our lives. In this information age, we have managed to fill up every last second of our time and our attention with a non-stop feed of information, of data, and of entertainment. All of us, right? And I'll confess, also happens to me. You know, just yesterday, I was just watching something on my computer, you know. It was actually a documentary on on the Antarctica, about ice over. And then my daughter came over and asked me, you know, Dad, what are you watching? You know, so it's a documentary on Antarctica. I said, why are you watching this? You know, I thought, you know, you're right. I don't really need to know what's under the ice in Antarctica. You know that, right? But you know, we are watching all this stuff all the time, right? How to cook this souffle, you know, how to bake that. Actually, none of us, we don't bake anything, one. Right? We just go and buy what you don't need to know. So we spend a lot of time just ingesting all this information. And of course, young people, you're always like playing games all the time wherever you are, right? Now, in the past, we would travel from one place to another. Maybe you're walking, maybe taking a train. Nowadays, you can't even take a train. The train is very fast. Right? You sit down, you try to pray. Before I pray, miss one station already. So you can't even pray. You're just like, okay, how many more stations? You kind of think about it. In the car when I'm driving, I often think, right? I take time to think. Because you need time to listen and to process, right? But now you can't, because you know we got your Spotify streaming, got music going on all the time. And even if there was none of that, you're driving along in 200 meters to the left, you're always paying, your attention is always on something else. So as a result, there's no space. There's no sacred space. What do I mean by sacred space? So what is sacred? What is holy, if you like? It is holy. It cannot mix with other things, right? So the clothes that you wear in the Bible cannot be two kinds of linen, cannot mix, right? So I guess one way of looking at holiness is the opposite of mixing them. Right? The reason why we have difficulty with being holy is not because we have problem keeping laws. It's because we are highly distracted, right? There are many things going on in our lives that are drawing our attention away from God. As a result, it's not that God don't speak, it's we can't hear. We no longer have the ability to hear God. So what I'm saying here, I'm not saying that we are bad people or anything like that, but we need to wake up to the fact that this modern way of life, this modern lifestyle conspires against listening to the voice of God because it has crowded out all the spaces in our life and it leaves no sacred space to hear God. Most of the time, I hear God best when I'm alone, when I'm quiet, when there's no one around, I'm just thinking about things and working through. And then that is, in that moment of quietness, is often when God speaks. And I think we all need these moments of quietness. It's hard to find in our present world today. Right? Always got something going on all the time in our world. We need that time away to think through, to allow God to speak. So I think that's the first thing, right? We don't hear God. And Samuel was able to hear God because he was in the right space. Not just a physical space. You know, the whole mental, the whole spiritual space. He was in that right sacred space. Do you want to listen to God? I think so, right? I think in this time, more than any other time, we were considering the paths to take in our life. We need to hear God. So I want to suggest to you that this is a change that needs to happen in our life if times of refreshing is going to come. Right? If you don't do anything, you continue that, okay, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to hear God. The word of God will be rare. There will be no fresh revelation. And all you have are the memories of something that happened 20, 30 years ago. Right? But if you want fresh revelation, one of the changes that I think that must happen is we need to find ways to slow down. Find ways to create space where other things are. Nowadays, you know, even when you're quiet, sometimes the phone will beep, 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 tiddu, tiddu, or whatever the thing might be, right? And even when people don't send you messages, you send other people messages, right? During service, a lot of times people send me message, right? And then you check, you want to send message, then you want to check whether the tick from grey colour become blue colour, you know, whether they read the message or not, right? So all these things, we need to wean ourselves off a little bit. So I suggest to you, Chinese New Year this year, can't go many places, because the government don't allow, right? Cannot travel also. Maybe you can use some of the spare time, instead of learning out what's under the ice in Antarctica, right? To maybe just take some quiet time, just process. Don't have to be overly spiritual about it. In that quiet moment, just process through, you know, work through, reflect. Very often, it is in those times that God's still small voice will break through and speak to us. Second thing, Samuel, you know, he heard what he thought was Eli's voice, right? But his response was sharp. He jumps up, "Here I am." He wasn't sleeping on the job, okay? although they said that it was late, you know, he was lying down, he was paying attention even when he was sleeping. But more than that, his response was full. In verse 5, it says, so he ran to Eli. Yet as he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Right? Go lie down again. So he went and lied down. Okay, think about this. This guy, he jumps up, he runs to Eli. You know, I wish that our response to God was like, very often our response is like, huh? Did God call? And then continue doing your thing, right? I think if we are not interested in listening and obeying God, God also wouldn't be very interested in talking to you, lah. I mean, that makes sense, right? If you are not interested in God, why would God want to reveal anything to you, knowing that you won't respond? But here, Samuel, God speaks to him. He jumps up. He runs. That is an attitude that we need to have. And I think that is an attitude that invites the voice of God. Right? If you are the kind of person whose heart is just listening and ready to respond, right? I think you will invite God speaking to you. Of course, in this case, Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep, right? It's late at night already. And of course, as he went back to sleep, it happened again. In verse 6, it says, then the Lord called yet again. Samuel. Actually, I'm not sure Samuel. Maybe it's Samuel. Something like this, right? So Samuel arose, went to Eli again, said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli probably trying to sleep, by the way. It's like, I did not call you, my son. Go, lie down again. Go sleep. So, second time. Now, most of us, first time very on, right? First time God called you, wow, you're on. Second time, slightly slower already, I think so, so, not sure. So Samuel went, and lo and behold, God spoke to him yet again, right? Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. So he arose, he went to Eli, and he said this a bit different. He says, here I am, for you did call me. Right? You did call me. Now, I think what happened was the guy went back. He didn't sleep now. He was like, listen carefully. Samuel. Yeah, I heard it. Maybe I could be dreaming, sleeping, not very sure, right? This time, I really heard it. So, okay, you did call me, right? And in Cantonese, you say, mo zheng gu ngo, right? Don't prank me. Don't troll me, right? You're playing a trick on me. Are you testing me something? So, the guy comes here. Now, by this time, Eli, he want to sleep. He's been trying to sleep, just about to get nice dream. Then wake up again, right? He said, okay, listen. I didn't call you, but maybe the Lord is speaking to you. So next time, if you hear this again, you should ask, Lord, your servant here, speak to me directly. Don't come and wake me up. I'm trying to sleep here, right? So maybe it's this. You know, yesterday I spoke to somebody saying that, oh, Pastor, you know, at the beginning of the year, you told us to fast and pray, right? Do you all fast and pray? Okay, I hope you did, right? Not too late to fast and pray if you didn't. Some of you, looks like you need to fast and pray even more, right? So, she said, oh, I fasted and prayed, but God didn't speak. So, if God didn't speak, then what should you do? What should you do? Continue in life as usual. But Samuel, again, first time didn't, Second time didn't, third time didn't, and you know what? The fourth time, God spoke. If he'd given up the first time, he'd given up the second time, he'd given up the third time. You see, to listen to God, you need to have some kind of perseverance in this. You got to want it enough, right? Some of us, you understand this, but you don't apply it to your spiritual life. You apply it to, like say, getting bubble tea, right? You go one place, bubble tea, long queue, you go to find another outlet, you go all the way, Johor also you go to find food, right? If you can apply it to those things, maybe you should apply the same persistence and perseverance to hearing God. You follow what I'm saying? You know, right? So, for many of us, our attention is rarely on God. You know? We don't pay attention to God and we don't persist in listening to God. We try a bit, just a bit only, right? And you can't get it, that's done, sweat, right? So, I have to wonder, if we were in Samuel's shoes, what will our response be, right? Sleeping, God calls you, Samuel, you know, you run up. And then Eli said, I think for us Singaporeans, probably, Samuel, after three times, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you're scared already, right? Some of us probably scared of ghosts, who's calling me in the middle of the night. Samuel recognized God's voice, right? He recognized God's voice. So, he went back and God called him again. In verse 10, it says, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" You know, this is a play on Samuel's name. Samuel's name, Samuel, means God heard. God heard Hannah's prayer, right? But now, Samuel is the boy who heard God, right? That's a boy who heard God. So he was attentive. He heard God. He replies and he obeys God. In fact, you read on. We don't have time to read on more. In fact, you read on. God will go on to say, "I am going to reveal something to you about something that will cause all the years to tingle." It's a major revelation that was going to happen, right? Now you go back and read that for yourself. But our listening to God is very important, especially when it comes to crossroads. The decisions that you make is up to you, but the consequences, the destiny that you end up in, really does have a very big difference whether you listen and you obey the voice of God or not. You know, there was in this book called Echoes of Grace, a little account about something that happened at the funeral of this famous and great African missionary and explorer by the name of Dr. David Livingstone. Right, very famous explorer. Much has been written about his explorations and missions work all the way in the heart, what called the darkest continent, the dark continent, looking for the source of the Nile, creating a path through for people and all that stuff. And finally, by the time he died, he was a very well-known, very famous person. So there was a big funeral thrown for him in England. So this little snippet of an account comes in the book. It says this: a man at this funeral, a man who appeared to be derelict of humanity, in other words, he's, you know, in very shabby state, was seen to be weeping bitterly. When someone asked him if he were a near relative of the great missionary, he replied, "No, but we were in the same class at school. We worked in the same loom in a mill in Blantyre. Only I took the wrong road and became a useless drunkard." David Livingstone, when he was young, he heard God's call, began to follow and serve Jesus Christ, and that loyalty took him to Africa. So hearing the voice of God is the dividing point in our destiny. Today, as we stand at the beginning of a new season, not just a physical season, but I believe also a spiritual season, it is good for us to hear God's voice. It's necessary for us to hear God's voice. But hearing God's voice is more than just something that we desire. It requires certain changes to be made in our lives to enable us to be like Samuel, to be in a position. You want to hear something, you must be in a position to hear it. Right? That position calls us to change some of our schedules, maybe for some of us. Very busy schedules, requires us to change some of our habits. Many of us are used to just cursorily hearing God, right? And you know what I mean? Maybe you hear, but you don't really hear. A lot of us, especially married men, have mastered the art of hearing, but not really hearing, right? Because at home, you're listening to your news, then wife talking, you know, children talking, dog also talking. You know, you listen, you hear everything, and you all just buffer all these things, you know, because you never know when you need it, ma. Right? You listen to news, you're not really listening to anybody. Then suddenly your wife asks you, "Do you hear what I say?" Oh, you rewind quickly. You say, "Go to cold storage." Oh, you win now. So we hear, but we don't actually pay attention. With God, you cannot like this, right? We can't do this. With God, you need to stop everything. That's holiness. Stop everything else, right? Turn off the phone. Stop. Be in a place where nobody can disturb you. And give yourself enough time, right? Certain things cannot do quickly or not, to be very honest. Bake a cake, how to bake quickly? It needs how many minutes? It means it needs how many minutes? Same thing. To hear God, you need to find time. A lot of you have got all these government voucher and all that. Find some lobang in Singapore. Just go and hide there by yourself. Give yourself enough time to process. When I say process, I don't mean just sit there, don't do nothing. Look at the monkey jumping on the tree. Not like this. You sit there and you just focus on the Lord, but you work through things. And in that moment of working through, maybe like Samuel, you will hear the whisper of God. And when God speaks, He's calling your name. God is calling a person God is not informing us about things. He's calling people. Would you close your eyes as we turn our attention and we think about what are some of these changes that must take place in our lives in order that God can get a word in sideways, right? In our very busy, very cluttered life. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess that sometimes we have crowded you out of our lives, that our relationship with you is not where it really ought to be. That change, repentance is needed. Lord, we want to see times of refreshing, spiritual renewal, fresh revelation, and not just memories of something that happened decades ago. So Lord, even in this short moments of silence, would you begin us on a journey to find sacred space, something that's holy, that only you may enter and speak. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.